I wanted to let you know I've been director of sustainability education for the last 3 years at the college because that has really informed my teaching. And I highly recommend, if you are thinking about developing a program or of sustainable agriculture program or curriculum, to spend a little bit of time, even though it's a little bit boring, in some of the curriculum development materials. It really, I did it as a result of my responsibilities as director of sustainability education, but it really opened up my mind, got me really thinking creatively about what I was doing in my own classes and in my program. So what I want to do today is to, let's figure this stuff out. Spend a little bit of time answering these questions for you. These are the questions when I came to Warren Wilson 9 years ago. I am a product of the land-grant universities. I'm a technical scientist. And I got this lovely little job in this beautiful part of the country in a really cool college that had this thing called the Triad. And it was a sustainable agriculture program. And I got there and I thought, okay, what do I do now? Having no experience in liberal arts institutions. So the first thing I did was I thought about, okay, what am I trying to do here? What are some of the questions I have? And the big question was, what is a liberal arts agriculture education? And I'm guessing that some of you are struggling with these kinds of questions as well. So I unpacked that question a little bit, and these other questions emerged. Well, what are the key elements of an undergraduate agriculture education? What do I want them to know? That's the know part. How do you teach leadership? At Warren Wilson, one of our taglines is we're creating graduates who are going to change the world. Well, in order to change the world, you need to be a good leader. what are the qualities of a liberally educated person? Where does sustainability fit in all of this? What are the opportunities and challenges of the Triad? I'm going to talk about exactly what the Triad is in just a minute. So to answer these questions, I got into the literature around liberal arts education, curriculum development, sustainability education. And the next few slides, I'm going to go through them pretty quickly, and there's lots of words on them. But I understand you're going to be able to get to this presentation again. So, is that right? Whoever is somebody here from the conference, y'all are somehow going to put these online. So you will be able to get this again. And if you can't, email me and I'll send it to you, okay? But what I want to show with the next few slides is that there's actually a deep and broad literature in many to answer many of these questions, okay? And so I drew on that literature to develop the program that I have at Warren Wilson. So this is a great, this list, the qualities of a liberally educated person, come from an essay written by William Cronin called Only Connect. I'll bet all the faculty members here have read this, or at least heard about it. I encourage you to read it. All the students encourage you to read it. Great discussion, great essay on what's the goal of a liberal arts education. What should these people look like, you people, look like when you graduate from a program? a more recent essay by Frank Rhodes, he's president emeritus of Cornell, pulling together the strand of thinking about liberal arts education with sustainability. Wow, I found this and I thought, great, I got it. I've got the list that I want to think about for my own sustainable agriculture program. So I will go through quickly this list. Rhodes says that, first of all, sustainability is the ultimate liberal art. And for those of you working in institutions where you're still feeling like you're trying to convince the administration that there's a place for agriculture or for even sustainability in your education, but particularly agricultural sustainability, grab this article, read it, use the arguments in it. It's a great one. So this list, understand social and ecological systems, appreciate the centrality of community, address real-world challenges with transdisciplinary approaches. Transdisciplinary approaches are those approaches. It's a lot like participatory action research. I've heard that word used a lot while here at the conference. It's a lot like that. Just a little bit. There's a few more twists to it. Engage as an informed, ethical, and scholarly citizen. Apply skills, attitudes, and knowledge to issues of sustainability. This felt like a pretty good list to me. Set of criteria. How am I going to develop a curriculum around this criteria? But I had to throw one more element. This element of leadership. There's a pretty interesting literature around, well, there's a monstrous literature around how to teach leadership, how to cultivate leadership, and then a pretty interesting emerging set of literature around sustainability leadership and change leadership. So I like this short, simple list. Here are some qualities of a change leader. Make the case for change. A change leader has the ability to do the research and be articulate, persuasive, to convince that there's a need for change. Because now we're not just talking about understanding how to do agriculture or even understanding how to do sustainable agriculture. We're talking about motivating change in your communities with agriculture. So make the case for change. Translate vision into action. How do you get from where you are to where you want to be? One of the things that I noticed as I started teaching this program is that students, and well, our culture, actually, in general, really difficult time with this vision piece. Really articulating a specific vision. Admitting that you want to do stuff, like live in a world where love is an important element, where we treat the earth with love and each other with love, things like that. So that vision part's difficult. And then how do you get that gap between reality? How do you close that gap between reality and vision? Lots of skills and knowledge involved in that. And then finally, the third thing is to be strategic in your thinking and be able to strengthen and transform assets for the long term. So we're in this for the long haul. We want to make this change to society in a direction of sustainability. And we want to set up a system that will then sustain itself over the long term. So these are the qualities of change leadership. And then I still have one other overriding requirement of my program, and that is to work within this triad education model. Is anyone unfamiliar with the triad? Raise your hand if you've never heard of it. Okay, we'll go through it pretty quickly. It's the education model that Warren Wilson uses. It comes out of the thinking of John Dewey. And I love this quote from John Dewey: "The ideal is not knowledge. So the ideal of a college education is not knowledge, but the power to realize vision." Great connection between this change leadership quality and the triad. And then the way that John Dewey conceived of creating this ideal person or graduate, is to cultivate intellect through the exercise of observation, knowledge, and judgment in community to make a positive contribution. So observation, knowledge, and judgment. We're cultivating that in our graduates. And then the final part of this is a very simplistic view of John Dewey's ideas, but it's the essential elements. And then the final piece of that is the way you achieve that, how you're going to do that, create that kind of person, is through education built on life experience in community. Okay? So those are the elements of the triad model. We use this at Warren Wilson. We have an academic program, we have a work program, and we have a service program. And our students are required. The academic's pretty self-explanatory, and like many liberal arts colleges, the work program, all our students work 15 hours a week maintaining our campus, doing all the work involved in maintaining a college campus. So yes, they work on the farm, but they also work in the cleaning crews and in the dining hall and in the dean's office and the landscape. Okay, with 68 crews, something like that, and all the students work to keep the college going. So that's the work program. And then the service program, all of our students are required to do 100 hours of community service over the 4 years that they're at our college. And that's pretty much like any community service program you would have at any liberal arts college. Okay, so I put all this stuff together, and this is how I answered my question, qualities of a liberal arts sustainable agriculturalist. What am I aiming for in my program? First of all, understand the behavior of social and ecological systems. Pretty important. Can manage for sustainability, has the knowledge and skills to do that, and also can lead and also collaborate. So can be a leader, but also a good collaborator for community-based change. So those were the elements I was trying to pull out and think about as I developed the curriculum for the program. So this is the academics part of the triad. Here are my teaching strategies for the sustainable agriculture program. It is a concentration within the environmental studies degree. So you don't get a degree in sustainable agriculture formulas, and you get an environmental studies degree with a concentration in agriculture. So one of my key teaching strategies I wanted to bring into the classroom or in the curriculum, addressing real-world challenges. These are complex, difficult issues. One word in the literature used for these kinds of challenges are wicked problems. I didn't want to shy away from those in my classes, even in my lower level classes. We're going to get right to it, addressing real-world challenges. Take an interdisciplinary approach. Use systems thinking. Be able to assess sustainability. So sustainability assessment, how do you do that? What's involved in that? I wanted to support effective group work. I wanted to do that. I do that very deliberately. We actually learn about how to work in groups, how to lead them, how to collaborate in them, and then we have lots of practice at it. And then I also facilitate scaffolding, course bridging, and triad integration. Scaffolding involves starting out small, learning skills, simpler problems, less involved requirements for the solutions, and then slowly building over the 4 years of students in the program, taking the different courses in the sequence, to getting more difficult and expecting more out of the students. So that's scaffolding. Course bridging. A lot of the techniques I'm going to show you here, we'll get into it in just a minute, take more than one course, more than one semester to really achieve and accomplish. And I do that by bridging among my own courses. We take data that one class develops and use it by a following class. But I also bridge with other courses of other faculty members. A lot of benefits to that. In particular, I'll just say now, the benefit that I've seen of course bridging is you can actually address real-world problems because you have the time and the resources over a year or maybe three semesters. The other thing is the students really get excited when they see, say, some installation going up in the cafeteria that they provided the initial data for three semesters before. The other thing course bridging does is involve a lot of students over all the courses involved. And I'll show you an example of that. And then triad integration. We spent a lot of time at Wilson trying to figure out how do we take advantage of the information flow and skill flow that can occur between a student in the academic program, also in the work and also in service. What kinds of knowledge does the student get in those different parts of our program, and how do we flow that knowledge, that experience back and forth in between the three elements of the triad? Okay, so this is what I want to focus on in the time that I have left. I have developed three what I call integrative skills. They're projects, activities in my classes that integrate all of these strategies. Okay, and I found them very useful. Students really like them. We get real work done with them on campus. And I want to give you some examples of those. And those three skills are life cycle analysis. How many people know what that is? How many people don't know what that is? Sorry, it's a little dark in here. Okay, just a few. Adaptive management. How many people don't know what adaptive management is? Okay, great. And then also group leadership and collaboration, specific skills related to that. So that's what I want to show you now. I'll talk about each of these skills, and then I'll show you examples of student work. Okay, so life cycle analysis. Seems like most of you know it. Cradle to grave, social, environmental, and economic impact analysis. Promotes interdisciplinary and systems thinking, builds research communication skills, supports sustainability assessment, and it's really well suited to the working group approach, course bridging, and the integration of the triad. So I can hit all of those key strategies with this one assignment, and it's also a skill. So here's an example. A student as her senior project, this was Julia Bond in 2007, she did a life cycle analysis of the college food system. She did research, literature research, found 9 sustainability indicators, and then she developed the values for these indicators using class research, personal interviews, and food system records. And I just want to show you this. I've got a light here, don't I? These were her indicators. There are 9 indicators arrayed in the first column, and then the data sources. And I really wanted to show you this to just show you the bridging between work and service, or the integration of the triad, and also bridging between courses. It was a lot of students put a lot of effort into creating this life cycle analysis that Julia then got to stand up in front of campus and talk about. But just take a look at this. We'll look at the data source. Ecology of Food course conducted LCA of top 10 foods in 2004-2007. Another course down here, the Environmental Economics course, administered a student survey around issues that we could use in this LCA. The student worked with the recycling crew, this is work program, with the local foods crew, and then she also interviewed the food service manager and the garden manager. So there's a lot of people involved in gathering this data. And then just one example, this is just the first indicator, which is essentially food miles. We've got miles, the different commodities traveled, and then the commodities are right on the bottom there. See that one block? We learned as a result of this that the black beans in our vegetarian cafeteria were coming from Tibet, and they were being grown by Chinese peasants. And I'm guessing, because this is a liberal arts gathering, you understand the richness of the issues around that. If you were to do a social, economic, and environmental analysis. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So power, also the power of life cycle analysis to change the community that you're in. This was such a surprising result. I didn't anticipate this. The students got so excited and frustrated, and they were horrified that we eventually, just this past year, we now have a sustainable dining policy. That all started with this life cycle analysis. And I'll talk to you about that also, but I need to move on. Okay, another key skill, adaptive management. This is essentially a stepwise process, iterative management process that has simplify it with 4 steps. Vision and goals, assess resources, plan and act if you're in a setting where you can act, and monitor. Lots of different names for adaptive management, adaptive resource management, continuous improvement, all sorts of names. They all have in common this idea that you set a vision or goals, you assess your resources, you make a plan, and you monitor that plan. How well is your plan getting you to the vision and goals? Very well suited to academics. We can skip just the act part of this and do all the rest of it very conceptually and in the classroom. And I have found that the visioning part, I mentioned this earlier, the visioning part is transformative. To get students to really think about how they want the world to be and stop thinking about what they don't like about it and start thinking about how it could be, what they would like the world to be like, and do that in a very structured, practical, and positive way is really transformative. The way to do that is with this thing called a holistic goal. It's a technique in holistic management the land management technique. Don't have the time to go into it, but if you get nothing else out of my talk today, write that down and look into it, okay? It's transformative because it reveals core values, promotes leadership, motivates action, and it's got wide application. You can use this for a personal management, for a family, for a farm, for a business. This type of management has even been used for countries. Okay, so it's not just the land management technique. So I just want to go through and give you some quick examples of adaptive management applications at Warren Wilson. So the first is class consulting. This is at the lower end. This is that lower part of the scaffolding that I do, helping students gain the skills and knowledge they need to address real-world challenges. Every year, I gather questions from all the land managers. We have a farm manager, we have a market garden manager, and also landscaping manager who does a lot of native plant production, that kind of thing. So I gather questions from each year, either challenges they're having about their production or questions they have about their production systems. I develop well-defined questions based on that. I give the students a chance to choose those questions, and then we do all sorts of course projects with them. Another nice bridging function of this course consulting or class consulting is that very often a student will, in say as a sophomore, take on one of these questions from the land managers, and that will stimulate interest enough in that student for that topic that they will go on and do their senior project, their research project, a capstone project in that area. And that's what I'm showing you. I'm sorry. Right here. This was the original question we had from the manager, and it ended up, we had these variety of studies that came about as a result of those initial questions. Again, speaking to leadership, wow. When a student does some research, delivers a report to a land manager, and the next year they see the technique that they recommended being used on the farm or in the landscaping. Really builds confidence and creates a real connection for the student with that project. Okay, another example, all of the sustainable agriculture students do a senior project where they create a farm plan. You see there are different elements in the farm plan. I use the holistic goal here. It is an adaptive management plan, so you'll see all the steps of the adaptive cycle in there. But what I want to draw your attention to is we actually use real farms. So they're, yeah, I'm going to actually take just a few more minutes. Okay. We use real farms. They can use the Warren Wilson farm, working lands, but also over the years, students have wanted to work on nonprofit farms at a nearby campus. They're going to go back and farm their family farm when they graduate. They wanted to do this project on their own farm. And then some students know they want to locate in Portland, and they'll actually go out and find a farm that's for sale, and do the plan based on that. That's the template. So they build this farm plan based on a real piece of land with real challenges, marketing, environmental, and otherwise. And at the end, they have a farm plan that what's happened in the 9 years I've been teaching this course is more and more students are leaving college with their initial startup plan in hand for their farm. So you can imagine all the benefits and confidence and leadership that goes on with developing that kind of plan. Okay, lots of words. I'll let you go back and look at them. This is an example, another time, this is an example of goal setting, this holistic goal. I wanted to show you what one looks like, only because if you don't know about it, you might imagine it's like the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goals kind of setting that you often see in business management literature. No, this is something really different. It's a three-part goal. The first part, you describe the quality of life you wish, what really matters to you. The second part, what do you need to produce in order to support that quality of life? The forms of production part, particularly important and powerful in this goal, because you're not saying specifically what you're going to produce in terms of the crops or livestock mix, that kind of thing. You produce profit. You produce free time. You produce a good reputation. Happy to talk about it more later in a question if you'd like, but those two aspects of the goal, really important and transformative. And then the last part, the future resource base. 20 years from now, what does your farm look like? What do you look like? What does your community look like? Okay? It motivates action because you now have a clear picture of what you're trying to accomplish, and you know what matters to you. You do the resource assessment part of the whole farm plan, and then you get it, you have a good sense of what resources you have to get you to where you want to be. Okay. Another part of resource assessment, and this speaks to systems thinking. The students do different sorts of systems diagrams of their farm that they're planning. And this is just an example of a services flow. What are the elements of your farm, and what services does each element provide to the others? This is actually from the Warren Wilson Farm River-Friendly Farm Plan. It's a whole farm plan that Chase Hubbard started working on in 2009. This is another typical resource assessment technique or skill called SWOT, looking at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the farm. And then finally, goals and monitoring. This is an example, again, of adaptive management. This is our new sustainable dining policy. There's some of the goals. And there's the monitoring that we're doing. We've developed this food sustainability score, which involves integrating production practices, the value of our purchase of that food to the farmer, and proximity to campus, as well as we're looking at energy use and waste, those different indicators that we're following. I just want to give you an example then of this power to motivate using adaptive management. We tested our sustainability score by looking at, scoring all the purchases from 2007-2008. Those are the blue bars and all these different commodity groups. That's the blue bar. The yellow bar is our goal, 2020 goal. And so when I talk about this gap between reality and our vision, there it is. You can start thinking about how you're going to close that gap. And then the last example is this energy descent action plan. This is a transition initiative tool. How many have heard of transition? Okay. It encourages community-based research into resilience, community resilience. And I do this with my classes. We did an energy descent action plan for our campus, and we finished that in fall of 2009, and it's the first energy descent action plan for a college campus in the country. Some of the recommendations that came out of that for our food system, you can read those there. So this is another great tool, this adaptive management tool, for motivating change, motivating action, and building leadership and confidence in students. Okay, almost done. Last thing. So how do we teach this change leadership? How do we create leaders and build confidence in students? And we do that throughout the triad curriculum. A really important part of this is multiple opportunities to practice in group work in classrooms, on the work group work in work crews and service, both learning to lead group work and also being collaborating in group work. Not easy to teach, not easy sell. How many students here love doing group work in their classes? We got one. One sort of half. Okay, not easy to sell. But one thing that I've learned is if you teach students how to be good group members, they actually enjoy it. I've got my course evaluations to prove it, for those of you who don't believe me. Okay, so it is possible to create really positive group experiences. The other thing we do, regular reflection, both on personal leadership values and abilities and group weak strengths and weaknesses. That happens in the academic program, happens in the work program, and service. Really important to take a step back and see what you think about how well you're doing, how well your groups that you're involved in are doing. And then finally, this bridging, which I already talked about. So just to give you a little more sense of the triad, and then I'll be done. I've just got a few more slides. So this is work and all the places in the work program that students can plug into the food system. really rich opportunity to make that integration with the academics. And then the service. There's some examples of some of the service programs that are also related to food systems. And the last thing I wanted to, well, two more things, sorry. We've got a governance system, a shared governance at Wilson. So students also, these are the places in the governance system students can also practice leadership. These are parts of our governance that affect the food system. And then the last thing is really important, I think, on our campus is having funding available for students to submit a proposal to for an idea, something that they want to try. So we've got all these sources of funding for student initiatives. Little bits of money, $50, $100, $200, but great, again, an additional place for students to practice leadership, practice collaboration, and actually get to see something as a result of their interest and effort. Okay, last thing, I can't end without bragging a little bit about some of our students. Here's some of our student firsts. These are students that achieved this while still in college at Wilson. The first national, in the nation, the first accredited program of study in sustainable agriculture. This is a high school program of study. We had the first Southern Appalachian Youth Food Symposium, 2007. We did the Energy Descent Plan. I've already talked about that. And we also had a student propose a Youth Food Policy Council that won an award in our state. Graduate first, the first landless CSA, so all of you folks who want to get out and farm when you're done, and land is a huge barrier, come talk to me. I'll tell you about how you do it without land. First grass-finished meat marketing cooperative in North Carolina, and then the first global sustainable agriculture information exchange. It's on the web. It's called A Growing Culture. Last thing I want to end with, we couldn't do it without the students. I can create this opportunity, but the students step up and really make the best of it. And then we also have a lot of fabulous farming graduates. I want to celebrate the people that actually put all this together and make it happen. Okay. Yeah, we got 10 minutes. Stop. Sorry, I started rushing there toward the end. I knew it would take me longer. Anyway. Questions? Comments? Yes.
How do you pair students with their work positions? Is that and every student works?
Mm-hmm.
And how do they apply?
They apply.
Yeah.
And all the freshmen are on dining crew and cleaning crew.
I was going to say, how do those get filled?
Yeah. That's, you kind of work up to the crews that are the really popular. And the way you do that is you do well in dining and cleaning. And it's just like the real world. You do a good job in your last job, and you get hired for the one you really want. Yep. Yes?
What's the course you do the business plan?
That's Sustainable Farm Management Senior Course. Yep. Which works really nicely. Because it's in the spring of the senior year, right before graduation. The last thing a lot of seniors want to do is be in school. So at least the ones that are going on in farming, they love it. They are so motivated to be in that class because they get a chance to think about it now instead of waiting until they graduate in May. Yes?
So you have the luxury of having a student come in as a first-year student and know that they want to be in your program, or do you get students who maybe come in and you know, okay, I don't know what to do with my life, and they take the first attempt to do it like this, or how does it work?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question because most of the ag students are transfers. And they typically come in sophomore, junior year. And so the way that the scaffolding works anyways, first of all, the very first course in the Sustainable Ag program is a sophomore course. So I there's nothing really for freshmen, which actually is a problem. We're working on how we might be able to work that. Because we get freshmen, too. That's why they're at Wilson. They're going to be farmers, you know. And then they get frustrated. They have to wait a year. But at any rate, and they won't get on the farm or garden crew, no way, freshmen doesn't. That doesn't happen for freshmen. So that's an issue. But the way we do it is I catch them up. And if I have to, I'll allow them to take the courses out of sequence, but I really work to try to make sure they can get them in sequence. Any questions? Yes?
I'd be interested to hear more in how we go about building group work skills.
Yeah.
Because I include a lot of those projects, and sometimes they work well, other times they don't.
Yeah. First of all, I went out and got curriculum just on the web, lots of it, on how you teach group work skills and how to manage, as a, in the classroom, you manage group work, and I use them. Another thing I do is I set up class periods where that's what we cut. They read a reading on how to work in groups, and we discuss it. It's part of the curriculum. It's part of the content of the class. I didn't do that 9 years ago, and I didn't see the same kind of benefits that I see now. And it makes my job as a teacher a lot easier because I get less of the resistance. I don't want to be in a group. You know, I don't want to do this. It becomes part of the content of the course. And they get better at it. Another thing I do, so I use set curriculum, off-the-shelf curriculum on how to do that, because I'm a soil scientist. You know, I don't, leadership, group skills, I wasn't trained to do this in my graduate program. The other thing I do is I set aside regular time in class, 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the end of class, to let's talk about how the group work's going. What's a problem you're having in your group, and then we problem solve as a group. I ask if anybody has an idea about how to work on that. The other thing I do, they do written reflections, and I read those very carefully as a way to head off problems. And they're also, my students by now, they all know this, they can each come to me individually and talk about a problem as well. So it's a lot of management in a way, but it makes all the other parts of the group work as the faculty member much easier. It flows. And once the students see the benefit when they're doing a complicated real-world problem of having more than just themselves working on it, then it's easy. By the time we get to the farm management class, if students have taken those courses in order, I don't need to convince them. They can't wait to work together on this. So it's really, it works. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Yes?
I love that you're on the platform and you're interested in alternative education models. In the summer, I studied social tableting and like Waldorf school ideology, and I was wondering if you might not know how that relates to the triad education model.
You call it social tableting?
Social threefolding.
I don't know what that is. But.
No worries.
Okay.
Basically, they might.
Does it look like triad to you?
Well, they're like supposed to. Focusing on like the three distinct parts of human interaction, so like social, economic, and there's a third, and like building education around those.
It sounds pretty similar, doesn't
yeah,
it?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know that Dewey had any. Waldorf was developed by Steiner, right?
Yeah.
I don't know any science ideas were around. Maybe
he would really invest in agriculture and education.
Yeah. So, was there another question?
I believe in your graph you had that you used new space, but here's some space or how that was done in your institution.
What did you ask about what?
I believe your own graph said that you reduced food service weights.
Oh, weird. That's a goal. That's a goal by 2020.
Do you have a plan specifically as to how you're going to do that?
We're working on that plan now. The sustainable dining policy was just adopted by the college last April, and so we're in our first semester now of putting it into place. Interesting aside to that, we also were, the timing on this policy coming out was trying to coincide with renegotiating our food service provider's contract, which is Sodexo, and an interesting thing is we put a call out for bids to do our food service, and we sent them the sustainable policy. Once the companies, the five companies, said they were interested in making a bid, we sent them the sustainable food policy, and one company dropped out immediately. We can't even get close to anything like this. So, but anyway, so that's all happening now. I mean, there are elements in the plan that have to do with education. To get students to take less food, maybe change the food system to not be free choice, but you get a set plate and you have to come back and ask them. There's actually some good literature on how to reduce waste when it comes to food. Yes.
In terms of making the case for bringing sustainability into curriculum, into the institution, do you see that mainly
think it's probably both places. I've had a lot of different questions in the last 24 hours about how, or I've heard conversations about how difficult it is to get support at the upper levels if you're interested. I think, maybe I didn't go into it enough, but I think the Black Bean example is a great example of how maybe you get started, you do some life cycle analysis, and then it's very natural. I mean, if you know Warren Wilson, maybe you're thinking the dining policy is not hard to do. Oh, everybody would be in support of the dining policy. No, that's not true. And it took from 2007 to 2010 to make that actually happen. There were a lot of barriers even in our system to that. I think at the grassroots level, the way to begin to inspire change is teach, learn about something like food, and do that kind of life cycle analysis, because I guarantee you, you're going to find something really interesting in your own food system to be able to then begin to react. But I also think it takes top down. I think ideally, to make change happen fast, you need some support and some high places. But you need it both ways. And there's strategies for how to do that. Yeah.
Any other? I think we're just about out of time for questions.
Okay.
If someone wants to stay online and ask another question,
sure, you can do that. And you can find us online and you can find me at Warren Wilson. I'm really motivated to use these tools, life cycle analysis, adaptive management, change leadership, and so I'd be happy to talk with you more about it.